Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to open up the pages of God's Word. We also have a TV program that airs from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. Let us know what you think. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll also find the TV programs on the website and a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular Bible study periods and worship periods of the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come, be with us, and let us show you your need for God in your life and a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we can help you in any way, please do not hesitate to call upon us. We have been looking at the doctrine of sin, and last week we began a study in why men sin. We finished last Sunday looking at the lack of ability. No, we have the ability to not sin, we just don't use it. Well, are we unable to bear it? That's the argument some make. Some argue that while we can keep some of God's laws at certain times, it's impossible to keep God's law perfectly for a lifetime. Weakness of the flesh makes perfect obedience impossible. My question is simple. Which one of God's laws can I keep? I contend if I can keep one of them, I can keep all of them. Some appeal to Matthew 26:41. Let's see what Matthew 26:41 says. Some people point to this passage as a reason why we know that we can't keep from sinning. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, what does that mean? Weakness of the flesh prevents obedience. Can any deny we sin because we're weak in the flesh? Of course we do. Another passage, Acts 15:10, where it talks about the difficulty of the old law, is used for a proof text. Moses said they could keep the law. They didn't try. They thought that their relationship with God would get them over, even if they didn't keep the law perfectly. They were wrong. Read Deuteronomy 30:11-14. If the inability to bear means inability to keep the law, and since Jesus replaced that one with an easier to bear law, according to Matthew 11 in the Great Invitation, verse 28-30, his burden is light, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Is the law of Christ easy to keep then? They disobeyed the law, and we disobey the law of Christ due to our own choices. It's not that we're unable to, we're not willing to. There is a difference. Some use the argument that we can't understand God's will, therefore we must sin. Ephesians 5:17, it says, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 3:3-5 says, when we read, we might understand Paul's knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Some teach that unless one has a direct indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they can't understand the truth. That's a false teaching. In Matthew 13:1-23, one must also have a proper attitude to understand and accept the truth. The Bible clearly says that the sinner, if he asks, he will receive. If he knocks, it will be opened. If he seeks, he will find. Matthew 7:7-8. And the Christian can understand God's will because he's to give an answer of the hope that lies within him. 1 Peter 3:15. And so, yes, we're able. Sin when we're not tempted. Can you believe this? One can sin sometimes when we are not tempted to do so. Not according to James 1:13-15. Temptation is the source of all sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. 1 John 2:15-17. These are the only avenues of sin, and all sin goes down one of these three roads. It either is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, or the pride of life. The devil took this same route with our Lord in Matthew 4:1-11. He overcame him on every turn. He never succumbed. He never yielded. He never gave in. And so he overcame the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, just like we can. It seems to me that this is just another way of saying where Bible knowledge is lacking, temptation is also. If this is a Bible doctrine, somehow I've missed it, friend. Predestination. We have to sin because we have to fulfill Scripture. Of course. How did I miss it? Calvinism hinges on the theory of predestination. We must sin to fulfill the Scriptures. This position confuses statements of fact with predictive prophecy. If this is all must sin because of the Bible passages we previously examined, one of the millions who lived and died before the first recorded times that inspiration stated that we would sin. What about those poor people who lived before all the Bible was compiled? Why did they sin? Did they have to? Are we different than them? The argument confuses cause and effect and makes God accountable for our sin. Foolishness. Scripture, all sin, effect, because we do, cause. Then we sin through choice. God's word teaches the universality of sin, and God can't lie, Hebrews 6:18. If man has to sin, that's the effect. It's because the word of God said so, that's the cause. Then God's the one to blame, and our choice has been taken away. Say what? Thus, this is the truth as Calvinist sees it. One foreordained to commit sin must sin, yet he does so by his own choice. This is contradictory and confusing, to say the least. How can one have a true choice if he must sin? Talk about a dog chasing his tail. This is a classic case of it. No, predestination and fulfilled Scripture doesn't mean man sins because God knew he would sin. God sent his Son because he knew he would sin. God made a plan before the world began because he knew man would sin. That didn't mean that he'd have to sin. That means that he would choose to sin. And God knows what's in his heart. That's a far cry from saying he has to sin. Well, what saith the truth about all this? Do we have to sin? No. God will help us overcome sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says he'll make a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. And he won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. James 4, 6 through 8 says if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. What charge is God planning to give us in the Scripture? Not to sin. We're commanded not to sin. In John 5, verse 14, Romans 6, 12 and 13, 16 through 18, Hebrews 12, verse 1, not to sin. Why all these passages not to sin if we have to sin? Why does God tell us not to sin and command us not to sin? If it's inevitable, we must sin. Jesus lived a perfect life before man, showing us that we can live above sin. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul defends the truth concerning the resurrection. Because Jesus overcame the grave with great power, he demonstrated he was the Son of God. Romans 1, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. He showed it will happen, and we will overcome the grave too. Hebrews 4, verse 15 says that he was tempted in all ways like as we, yet without sin. Did he live in a terrible and wicked time? Of course he did. Was he tempted as man? Of course he was. Was he tempted as God? Never. James 1:13. How he overcame sin is the same way we must overcome, with the book. In Psalms 119, verse 11, it says that he hid God's word in his heart that he might not sin. That's how we overcome sin. We put God's word in our heart, in our mind. And then we will recognize it, we'll see it for what it is, and we'll say no, and we won't submit to it, we won't yield to it, we won't succumb to it, and we won't commit it. You see, that's when we follow in his steps. Of course, this does not mean we will live sinless lives. We fail at what we have the ability to do, to resist sin, because our choices are bad, and because we're weak in the flesh, and because we have times of weakness, and we have our weaknesses, and so we don't always resist sin. And so we make poor choices, we fall trapped to sin, we put ourselves in bad places, in bad situations, we put ourselves in a position to sin, we put ourselves in a position to be tempted, not because we have to, but because we make poor choices. God's gracious terms of pardon makes it possible to live lives acceptable to God, even though we have sinned. Let me read you some scripture in Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse number 23. It says, for we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. You see, we have a means of overcoming our sin, even though we are weak in the flesh, even though we make bad choices, even though we fall into snares, we yield to enticement, we give in to our lust, and we fail to take the road of escape, and we fail to put ourselves in a better position of not being tempted. We will sin, but not because it's inevitable, not because it has been inherent depravity, not because we have a sinful nature, and not because we can't understand, and not because we can't bear it, and not because we can't understand what sin is. We sin simply because we don't follow God's instruction and we don't take the prescribed remedy in order to avoid falling prey to our adversary, the devil. In bringing all these two lessons to a conclusion on why men sin, let me make this very simple. Why do men sin? To put it very simply, friend, it's because we want to. Through our lust, through our enticement, through our temptations, we succumb and we transgress God's will. And when we transgress God's law, we become guilty of sin. Sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3, verse 4. To him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin, James 4, verse 17. We'll have more to say about that passage in weeks to come. Yes, we all sin, but we don't have to sin. We must strive with every fiber of our being to resist the temptation to sin. Yes, thanks be to God, when we fall short, he will pick us up, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. When we do sin, we must comply with his terms of pardon, as we read in 1 John 1, verse 9, James 5, 17, and Acts 22. Acts 8, verse 22. You see, brethren and friend, we sin because we're weak. We sin because we're not cautious. We sin because we don't follow his instructions. We sin because we don't see temptation for what it is. We sin because we underestimate the devil. We sin because we don't look for the way of escape. We sin because we make poor choices. We sin because we put ourselves in the wrong place at the wrong time and put ourselves in vulnerable positions where Satan can tempt us and lead us away into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You see, we do it to ourselves. Why do men sin? Because they are weak. They make poor choices. They put themselves in awkward and vulnerable positions. They fail to take the way of escape, and they fail to understand the instruction on how to overcome sin. Let us open our mind, open our eyes, open the Bible, and follow God's instruction. Let us not be timid. Let us not be naive. And let us not be dumb. Let us understand that we have the ability to say no. We have the ability to not yield. We have the ability to overcome if we will exercise it. What about it, dear friend? Will you overcome sin, or will you choose to do that which God does not want you to do? Think about it. Thank you for listening.